Welcome to Change Hackers, providing daily insight and inspiration for people changing their world. I'm your host, Tony Cook, and I invite you to join me today in conversation with someone on the front line of driving change and transformation. My guest today is Dr. Dilip Kulkarni, President of Jain Irrigation Systems, an Indian multinational and one of the world's leading irrigation companies with factories in 30 countries. Dilip and his team at Jain have pioneered a productivity revolution through modern irrigation systems and innovative technologies in order to achieve significant increases in crop per drop of water for more than 6 million small farmers. They're an early pioneer of the Internet of Things and are leading efforts to create global solutions through precision agriculture. Dilip started his career as a lecturer in food technology in Nepal and has taught and consulted in Denmark, Indonesia, Mauritius and China. He's an expert on technology transfer and extension for farmers and entrepreneurs and participates in various committees around the world working on agriculture and food technology issues. I spoke face-to-face with Dilip in Delhi, India. So Dilip, welcome to Change Hackers.
Thanks, my pleasure.
This is one of a series of interviews that we're conducting from Delhi at the BOP Global Network Summit. First of all, I mean, this is something you've come to on a regular basis.
Yes, of course.
You keep coming back. Yeah. You obviously see value in it.
It's a pleasure to attend these workshops.
So it's a network of people that you've come to know well.
Yeah. And connecting and reconnecting with people.
So you're involved with a large irrigation business called Jain. Do you want to just sort of wind the clock back and give us a bit of the story of how you got started with this?
Yeah, actually, I was earlier working as professor and dean in an agriculture university in India. And then the founder of Jain Irrigation, you know, Mr. Bhavarlal Jain, visionary and a thought leader, he invited me to join Jain Irrigation. And I joined as president, looking after mostly sustainability, strategic planning, relationships, new projects. And it was a wonderful journey for me. Actually, this is the company with a difference. Because 99% of companies' clients are BOP, below poverty line and bottom of the pyramid. And, you know, mostly farmers, very poor farmers, having land less than 2 hectares. On an average, and it was, you know, so difficult to work with them initially because they are poor, they are illiterate, they are resource poor, financially poor, as well as poor from the point of view of education, health, everything. So working with them and doing business is a challenge. And what we found that if we make them financially richer by providing high-tech agri inputs, knowledge, training, it is possible to increase their productivity. And we found that over a period of time when we did interventions in their agriculture, we found that their productivity has increased. And once productivity is increased, there was no market for them locally. So we thought of going in with contract farming with them and, you know, doing buyback of the produce.
Not your core business.
It was not a core business. Our core business was selling irrigation equipments, pipes, tissue culture plants, greenhouses, you know, all those stuff which goes into agriculture. But processing was not our core business. But then we thought, why not? This is an opportunity. It will also give, you know, confidence to the farmers and access to the market. And we also get a assured supply. So we went into contract farming model. And we started buying from the farmer with a very good contract farming model with pricing. Like we give them pre-contracted price or market price, whichever is higher. Mm-hmm. So farmer is never at a loss. So I think this is a very unique model, which was appreciated by World Bank as a, one of the mm-hmm. most ideal model which can be given to the farmer. Mm-hmm. And last 20 years we are doing this, and we found that farmers are very happy because they are never at a loss. They are getting either pre-contracted price or market price, whichever is higher. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is a very unique kind of a business.
This is as much financial innovation for you as it is about product innovation.
Yes. Yeah. And it is working very well last 20 years.
Yeah.
And we found that our food processing business is also flourishing with this. We are processing all kinds of fruits. You know, mango is, we are world number one in mango today. We process guava, papaya, tomato, banana, pomegranates, you know, all kinds of fruits we process. We also process vegetables, mostly onions. We are world's second largest dehydrator of onion.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a very good business.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we export all of it.
And yet on your business card, it says irrigation systems.
We still maintained our original, because farmers are known by that name.
But and you're known for so much more now.
They identify our company by that name. So we continue to keep that. Whereas we diversified into many things. Like we do a lot of solar energy related projects. Solar lighting, heating system, solar pumps is a very popular. We are today India's largest solar pump manufacturer. And this is picking up very well. So we are giving them sustainable solutions, you know, energy related, water related, water saving devices, you know, drip irrigation.
But the logic is diversify around the needs of that
particular
customer, the farmer.
And we are giving him whatever farmer wants. It is a one-stop shop for the farmers. They get all high-tech agri inputs. They get all knowledge, training, hand-holding. We buy their produce. And, you know, in this process, we found that access to finance was again a problem for the farmers. Mm-hmm. To buy these high-tech equipments and use them. You know, financing was an issue. And so we started a non-banking finance company to provide finance to the farmers. So we give them finance for buying any agri commodity, you know, input, which goes into farming. So he need not buy all the things from us. He can buy from anybody else, like he can buy tractor, or he can buy fertilizer, or he can buy pesticides, he can buy other farm equipments, which we don't manufacture. He is free to buy all these commodities from any other buyer, seller.
But you provide the finance.
So, but we finance him. The best thing is that we do buyback. So we adjust, we set back, you know, set his loan against the supplies which he does to Jain Irrigation. And so he has no worry of, you know, returning his loan, because we, in stages, step by step, year on year, we go on collecting the loan installments. So he is not worried about returning the loan, because he is supplying material to us. And we also provide him all the knowledge. We have now gone digital. We are using mobile phone technology. We provide them, you know, all the agronomic contents which is required. He can call back. He can send photo of disease or pest, and our agronomist can advise him. So we do a lot of advocacy through digital. We also do sustainability related lot of activity. Like we develop good agricultural practices called Jain Gap. You know, this is for small farmers. Jain good agricultural practices. They are compatible with Global Gap, which is a internationally recognized system for farm certification. So Global Gap has authorized and approved Jain Gap as an entry level standard for small farmers. And so all our contract farmers are Jain Gap certified. So every data is there, complete traceability is there, hygiene, sanitation, maintenance is there. We are also following Unilever Sustainability Code using complete digital platform like Muddy Boots software, you know, QuickFire. We are using that, and real-time data is fed into the system by our agronomists or extension workers who work with the farmers. Every 50 to 60 farmers, there is one extension worker from Jain Irrigation. And we have impacted many, many farmers. We do contract farming with more than 20,000 farmers. There are more than 7 to 8 million farmers who have been impacted by Jain Irrigation. Either they are using our irrigation system, pipes, tissue culture, solar pumps, or the agronomic services which we provide, or they are into our contract farming. So it's a huge number.
How far has this come from the business you joined?
Yeah, I mean, when I joined, the company's turnover was something like 300 crores of rupees. Okay, now it is more than 8,000 crores. So we have grown quite a lot. We are now already $1 billion company in India, more than 1 billion actually. And we have all international operations. Like we have 32 manufacturing plants. Out of that, 18 plants are outside India. We have 8 manufacturing plants in USA. And then we have plants in Brazil, Chile, Spain, Turkey. You know, in UK, we have a company, food company. Mm-hmm. And then we are in Israel. We acquired an Israeli company. We have a company in Australia. So we have presence all over the world. Mm-hmm. And our marketing offices are there in almost 140 countries. So we are everywhere in the world, actually. We say that sun never sets on Jain Irrigation.
I like that. How does a professor of engineering adapt to a business career?
Actually, there is a lot of opportunity to work in agri area. Mm-hmm. This is one, profession or activity where one can become 1,000, one grain can become 1,000 grain. Whereas in all other aspects, you know, it is only transformation. You take automobile industry or paper industry or chemical industry. It is only a transformation. It is only agriculture where there is, multiplication of 1 to 1,000. Mm. And it requires, knowledge of all sciences. It's not only botany or zoology or chemistry or physics, mm-hmm. but also it requires a lot of engineering, water-related activity, meteorology, health science, mm-hmm. nutrition, politics, economics. Mm-hmm. Everything is there in agriculture. And I think agriculture is so exciting subject. And so I feel that transition from academic to industry was very exciting for me.
So just on that then, since you mention it, I come from a background in agriculture. And for a long time, agriculture wasn't seen as an attractive career to go into. In many parts of the world, people have been leaving to move to the cities, and many small farmers have had children who don't want to come into the farm. The picture's the same around the world. Seems to be turning. There seems to be a sense that it's a sector full of opportunity. Do you see differences in the people coming through?
Yes, I think last few years I am seeing this transition. Earlier, the parents, they never wanted, farmers, they never wanted their sons and daughters to come in agriculture because they have gone through a lot of hardship. Mm. But now with this new technology coming in, high-tech operations using drones, mobile technology, digitization of agriculture, automation, mechanization, that is becoming more attractive to young generation. Mm. And there are examples where some of the farmers, they have excelled in their productivity and, income. So new generation is getting attracted. We are running a program called Future Agriculture Leaders of India, FALI. This is a mm-hmm. program which we have launched about 5 years back. And we are giving this new technology to young minds, 8th standard, 9th standard students. Mm-hmm. They are all rural boys and girls. Their parents are farmers. They have their land. And we are giving them this new technology, hands-on experience, like what we call experiential learning to them for 2 years. They prepare business plan. They actually work with their hands. And they also do some innovations. There is a competition among themselves. They come for an annual convention in our place in Jalgaon, and we conduct a lot of competitions with them. And it is so exciting for them. They earn a FALI blazer at the end. They find it very exciting. And earlier, their parents who were not interested to send their children to agriculture career. Mm. Now they are thinking that, yes, agriculture can be very attractive business. Mm. It can be a good profession. And so now they are trying to send their children to agriculture profession. So I think there is a huge scope. And agri-value chain is a very large agri-value chain. There is a role to play at every stage. It can be, custom hiring center, entrepreneurship at farming level, supplier, aggregator, cold chain operator. There are so many value chain steps wherein there can be a career development who do agriculture. So I think this is a huge area where there is a tremendous amount of opportunity. And there is a future. A country like India, where today 60% population is dependent on agriculture, but agriculture is contributing only 50% to GDP. So I think this can be reversed if proper value chains are developed. So value chain approach to agriculture is very important, linking both backward linkages and forward linkages in agriculture, which were not existent. And there was disparate sale earlier.
Yeah.
So that has to be stopped with the use of precision agriculture.
Maybe a comment or two about food waste, particularly post-farm gate.
Yeah.
Do you have a solution for reducing post-harvest losses, in transit to markets?
Yeah, technology is already in existence. It is only thing is that the technology has to be applied.
Yeah, it's not like being adopted.
It's not adopted. Technology is in existence. And with last 4 or 5 years, I am seeing that already some technology wherever has been applied. Like you see in case of grapes, it's a fully automated system now in post-harvest operation. And there are hardly any losses there. There are losses in fruits and vegetables. People say up to 20-25%. But what I feel is that these losses can be definitely prevented.
And we could go some way to meeting the demand for food
as
population grows.
Today productivity is 1/3 of the best in India, best in the world. So there is still potential to grow productivity. So today we are self-sufficient in food, but we are not self-sufficient from nutrition point of view. So changing crop pattern is perhaps needed. There is a shortage of proteins and protective food.
And what potential do you see for urban agriculture?
There is a huge scope. Actually, FAO says that in future, 40% food needs can be met through urban and peri-urban agriculture. So there is a lot of opportunity actually, because there will be less post-harvest losses. The food will be consumed in situ. And best quality food material will be available for the people in the city. Today, it is transported from a very long distance. Its nutritional value goes down. Its freshness goes down. So I think there is a huge scope. And there is technology in vertical agriculture, in rooftop agriculture, in greenhouse technology, polyhouse technology, which could be used in urban, peri-urban areas. And there is a huge scope. In future.
It requires political will, though, as well, does it not? In terms of planning and leaving room for production within a city?
Yes, I think some training is required to household, how to cultivate fruits, vegetables on rooftop or in backyard. And I think some educational program is needed in that area. Today, there are no courses on urban agriculture. So I think...
But there are commercial opportunities in urban agriculture.
They can have for their own as well as they can sell. I think science is available. Technology is available. Only thing is it is to be adopted. So, behavioral change is very, very important. Attitude change of mindset, that is also very important. Recycling, reuse of waste is also very important. Lot of city waste can be converted into compost and energy. And this can be recycled for production of urban agriculture. I think there is a huge scope. The sky is the limit, where you can apply your mind.
So, you're an optimist.
Very much so. Very much, yes.
Dilip, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to talk to you.
I'm your host, Tony Cook, and I'm on a mission to provide inspiration and insight for people changing their world. So check out changehackers.org to read show notes, guest blogs, and subscribe to access bonus content. Remember, this show's for you and change hackers like you. So drop me a line, tell me what you love, what you hate, or ideas you have for improving the show. And let me know if you know someone who'd make a great guest on this show. Maybe a friend, someone you work with, maybe even you. Just use the contact form at changehackers.org. I'd love to hear from you. Till next time, Change Hackers.